My purpose this morning is to call you again to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit, so needful in this hour. There's never been a day like this. I think history will prove that. It's a very strange time on a lot of accounts. And so we've just been talking about mountains moving and landscape changing and trying to hear the Lord in the midst of all of it. And I just want to again challenge you. Number one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to listen to the Lord, to pay attention to what He's saying and make yourself available to Him in these days. I appreciate my wife sharing the scripture from James this morning. She read that to me on the way to church this morning. I said, "You got to read that." And it reminds us of our story of Peter, who in one moment was being commended by God as having great revelation. It was from Matthew 16 or 17 where Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus blessed him, honored him, and in the very same day or moment or situation, he thinks he knows better than God about what should happen to Jesus. And Jesus turns on him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." And so in one moment he's a useful tool of revelation. The next moment he's totally missing it because Jesus says, "You're thinking like a man." And here James confirms that the wisdom from below is what? Earthly, selfish, and what? Demonic. Just because you're thinking like a man, Jesus says, you're part of the other world that's trying to keep me from doing the Father's will. And he says, "I won't stand for it." That's demonic. That's the spirit of Antichrist. So we see that Peter, the number one disciple, can miss it big time. Simply because he's not listening to the Holy Spirit. He's not yet filled. We know that on the day of Pentecost, a month, 2 months later, he became a different man, a different useful tool to God in a powerful way. He still had to work at shedding himself of his traditional thoughts, as we know the story on the rooftop where he fell into a trance. I was reminded this morning that often when God wants to really change your mind about something, he has to put you to sleep. He put Abraham into a deep sleep and brought to him the revelation of the covenant of grace to the entire world. Apostle Paul was blind for 3 days, and in that moment, I think, got deep, deep revelation of the purpose of God. Peter was changed his thinking, but it was while he was in a trance, it says, on the rooftop. I'd like to back up now. Those stories are from Jesus' last days in Jerusalem. And we're just trying to process what happens when God does something so profound that the mountains shake and the scenery changes and everything's different. Can we see it? Can we embrace it? Can we learn to think new in the Holy Spirit? And so I'm going to back up now, not to the end of Jesus' ministry, but to the very beginning. And this is from Luke 4. I'm just going to read Luke 4, beginning in verse 14. Most of you will be familiar with this passage. But this is Luke's account of Jesus' early teaching and rise to prominence. And in this passage, it comes right after him coming out of the wilderness of temptation, and it says he came out full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 of Luke 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Now, this is maybe not unlike what we've done this morning. Anybody got anything to share? What about the young rabbi who's home visiting today? Jesus, would you read for us? And the rabbi scrambles through all of the scrolls, and he grabs Isaiah, and he says, read something from this. Share with us your heart. And he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I read another translation this morning, to proclaim God's going to act now. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And then he began by saying to them, everything was great up until this point. Everybody's happy. They like this young new rabbi. But he picks a fight. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You're witnessing history. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They ask. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. I think that's Samaria, half-breed, mixed-race, non-Jewish country. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Again, a non-Jew, non-chosen, other people. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Wow. Any of you ever heard that story before? That new to anyone? Jesus preaching for the first time, just sharing a little bit from Isaiah and having a good time in the hometown church on Sunday, on the Sabbath. But he couldn't leave well enough alone. He had to hit him right between the eyes. He had to get ugly, it seems like. He had to let them know that something so earth-shaking was going to happen, and they weren't going to be at the center of it. God was going to be at the center of it. And everything they had been taught and understood about their life and their special place in God's economy and purpose was going to be pushed to the periphery. And the mountains moved and they couldn't handle it. And so we have the hometown people not getting it, and we have Peter not getting it. Why did they not get it? Someone tell me, please. They're thinking like regular folk. I'm only here this morning to challenge you. If they missed it, and Peter missed it, and so could we. God could be in our midst, moving mountains, shaking as he promised, doing something so new, and we have our preconceived ideas of what's going to happen and how it's going to happen, and if we think like normal folk, we'll miss it. It's a day to be filled with the Holy Spirit and His wisdom. How would you like for the Lord to come among us and say, y'all are thinking like demonic people? Well, that wouldn't go over too well, would it? It didn't in Nazareth. It says the mob took over. They were enraged for someone to tell them they were not going to be at the center, and they were embarrassed because they knew these stories. They knew the story of Elijah and Elisha. They knew those stories. And so he wasn't being rejected because he even may have claimed to be the Son of God. He was rejected because he was letting them know that their thinking was all wrong, and it was proved in their anger and their reaction. The anger of man, what? Worketh not the righteousness of God. And so it's not a day to react or to be angry. It's a day to what? Make sure we're not thinking like regular folk. Make sure we're not going along with the mob mentality. But what is the Lord saying? Can we hear it? Can we embrace it if it goes against everything we thought we already knew? Can we do it? I mean, even though change is afoot here. Not just in New Covenant, not just in the United States politically and socially, but perhaps the Lord's body and His church, nationwide at least, perhaps worldwide. There's just shifting going on. I don't know. I'm more comfortable now saying I don't know than I ever have been. So I'm only here to share this story this morning to encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit and to be filled. That this is our hope and our trust, where the Lord said, I won't leave you helpless. He said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and here's the good news. He's going to lead you into all truth. Can you count on that with me this morning? That if we'll listen, He'll lead us. If we'll stop thinking like regular folk and understand that God has to change some things in us personally, in our thinking perhaps, so that He can do the new thing and we can be a part of it rather than be a part of trying to stop it or kill it or grab Him by the coat like Peter and tell Him, you're all wrong, Jesus, you got it all wrong. That's not how it's going to go down. Can you imagine? But sometimes we think that way. We're so convinced of what we think and what we believe and what we know and what we've experienced, that we'll argue with God about it. So I appreciate the song this morning, Philip. Who's held the grains, who's counted the, I can't remember the line, the grains of sand and counted them, and you're going to offer something to God who knows everything? Surely we won't be that foolish. But isn't this a great passage this morning to celebrate? Because it's given to us as a warning not to do that. And so if the Lord were in our midst this morning and wanted us to go with Him where He's going, it may mean we'd have to change some things. If He's doing something fresh and new in the earth, it may mean that we would have the option of arguing with Him or trying to convince Him we know better. Or getting on board and saying, let's go, Lord. Let's take me with You where You're going. So those are my thoughts for this morning. Would you ponder them with me? Maybe read the story again when you have time. It's a crazy story. But Jesus He knew where those people were. And He knew what it would take to move them. And I would imagine perhaps through the next 3 years of His ministry, some of those people returned and started thinking new, hopefully. But you understand now why He said, here, my brother and my sister and my mothers are those who what? Do the will of my Father in heaven. That's my family. What a story. What a story. Lord, deliver us from thinking like regular people, huh? How many of you want to be filled with the Spirit and know the mind of Christ? Set your eyes on spiritual things, things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's my prayer for you this morning. Why don't you stand? I'm just going to pray. Pray the Lord will help us to be sensitive in these days. It's a crazy time. Crazy time. Thank you, Father, for these moments together. I do pray that you hear our praises. And now, Lord, we're back making supplication in earnest that you fill us with the Holy Spirit and deliver us from ourselves. And as we've shared this morning from testimonies, that we would learn again to give and in giving empty and be able to receive more from you, more truth, more understanding, more insight, more direction. We're going to trust you for that today, Lord. I want to thank you for the wonderful promises of God. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to us just to give us goosebumps. It's given to us as a light and a lamp to our feet to guide us into the pathway of God Himself. And I ask for that today in all earnestness, Father. That you fill us all freshly, daily with the Holy Spirit and give us ears to hear so that you would not have to rebuke us in this manner, but could invite us along with you on the journey of faith, the journey of change, the journey of newness, of life and freshness that you bring to everything you touch. Let us be a part, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.